You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
For our Set Apart to Serve conversation today, we are headed to Zion Lutheran Church and School in Harbor Beach, Michigan.
Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University, Nebraska. You can learn more about Concordia University, Nebraska at cune.edu.
Joining us today, the Reverend Dr. Matthew Durance. He serves as pastor at Zion Lutheran Church and School in Harbor Beach, Michigan. Pastor Durance, welcome to The Coffee Hour.
Glad to be here.
Also, more of the team serving at Zion Lutheran Church and School in Harbor Beach, Michigan. We have Deaconess Rachel Bullgreen. She serves there as well. Deaconess, welcome to The Coffee Hour.
Thanks for having us.
And Julie Metzger serves as principal at Zion Lutheran Church and School in Harbor Beach. Julie, welcome to The Coffee Hour.
Nice to be here. Thank you.
So we have like the whole team here, like the leadership team at Zion. I don't know how church and school are going on, if they're all recording with us this morning.
Who's in charge right now?
That's right.
It's lunch. It's lunch.
Aha, yes.
So they're spending some time with us to share the story of the Lord's work at Zion Lutheran Church and School. Let's start with your stories of how you came to be a church worker and what you get to do every day at Zion. Principal Metzger, let's start with you. How did you become a Lutheran educator and how the Lord brought you to Zion as well?
My story is a little bit probably different than most people's. I grew up in a public school. I never thought I would be in a Lutheran school, and yet here I am. When I went to college, I went to Ann Arbor then it was Concordia Ann Arbor. And we went through all of the classes, and I said, oh, I don't think I want to be in a Lutheran school. And when I finished, I got called to a Lutheran school, and they said, well, you're going to come and work for us here in Cleveland. And I spent 30 years in Cleveland teaching at a variety of levels, whether it was preschool or middle school. And then when the pastor there decided that he was going to take a call, he was the principal. They came to me, the school board, and said, would you be principal? And I said, I never want the big chair. I don't want the big chair. And here I am. May, June, I found out that Harbor Beach was looking for a principal, and I said, you know, it's time for me to move back to Michigan. This is my home state, and this is where my family is, and it brought me back. So I applied and fell in love with Zion, and have been blessed to be here since July. So I'm really new and fresh here, but we're making a team, so.
Deaconess Bullgreen, share with us your story. How did you find your path to becoming a deaconess and now serving at Zion?
Well, I also didn't ever think I would end up here. I grew up wanting to be a mom and have lots of kids and not really wanting to work or do anything. And yet there were some older ladies in the congregation when I was a young mom and having those babies. I think I was pregnant with my second one. And a couple of older ladies said, hey, you know, there's this program down at Fort Wayne now. It's called for deaconesses, and they have women going to the seminary. And you would be so good at that. Have you ever thought of going back to school? And I said, heck no, I am never going to write another paper in my life. No, thank you. So many years later, I've had 7 kids and homeschooling them and all the things. And my grandfather passed away and left some money to us. And as my husband and I were praying over how will we use these funds, what will we do with, you know, that it just all came back. I should probably go to seminary. And so I ended up at 40, starting at seminary right before COVID hit. So I was in the deaconess program all during COVID, and it was a long, arduous road. But here we are. And when I graduated, we were beginning to put the children in a Lutheran school. We had moved by then and we're up near Harbor Beach and had enrolled them here and transferred our membership. And when Pastor Durance and I were talking about the membership transfer, he said, hey, would you ever consider being deaconess here? And God did everything else. So here I am.
Wow. What do you get to do every day as a deaconess at Zion?
A lot of things. Here, I'm kind of a fill-in-the-cracks kind of person. So I teach women's Bible study once a week in the mornings, and then once a month in the evenings. I do Sunday school, and then I'm around about 3 days a week during the school day to help just be an extra set of hands. I do a lot of substitute teaching. Sometimes I head over to the child care center and change diapers and rock babies. I'm just an extra set of hands.
That's fantastic. Pastor Durance, tell us about how you became a pastor and how the Lord brought you to Zion.
So I actually started discerning being a pastor probably around confirmation age. We would be in church every Sunday, doing sermon notes, serving as an acolyte. And there was a couple of times where I would sort of drift off during the sermon, as one does when they're 13, 14 years old. And thought to myself, you know, I could see myself doing this, you know, sitting in the pulpit, talking about the Bible, you know, speaking on the word and leading the service. I was always kind of drawn to that. But as soon as confirmation was over, that was put to rest. We're not doing that. That's not in the cards for me. Went to college to be an engineer, changed my major halfway through to psychology. And when I came to the senior year, I had a decision to make, and I said, well, we're either going to get our master's in counseling or I'm going to apply to seminary. So I sent off applications to both, and whichever one responds back first, that's the direction we're going. Seminary responded first. So I was actually in the ELCA at the time. So I went to an ELCA seminary. And then 3 years into my first call out of the seminary, I was in rural Kansas, northeast Kansas, was drawn to confessional Lutheranism, really was drawn to the Missouri Synod. And so in October of 2017, I was installed in my first LCMS parish. And then in May of 22, I was installed here at Zion. I'm from Michigan originally, and what really drew me here to Zion was that they had the school. The school is flourishing. There was a lot of things going on in the congregation that I thought, you know, I think my skill set would be good here at this. The Lord could work through me here in this place, and it's been the best decision I've made. This really is a special congregation and school.
I understand your sanctuary. I haven't been to Harbor Beach, which is now in my bucket list because anything in Michigan is beautiful, but I understand your sanctuary is very beautiful and a very large crucifix, very prominent in the sanctuary. How do you, all three of you in your different vocations at Zion, how do you all keep church members and students fixed on Jesus? Why is this an important thing for their faith and life? We'll start with you, Pastor.
Well, just briefly, so there's an interesting story with that crucifix. So the sanctuary was built, the church was built in 1993, the new building, and they had a woodworker out in Frankenmuth actually carve that crucifix. And as the story goes, as I've been told, is there's a natural crack in the wood where Jesus was pierced in his side. And so the sculptor did not intend that, and it just happened to be there. And so I use the crucifix frequently in my sermons. I will literally point to Christ and say, this is our hope and comfort in our faith. And so for me as a pastor, whether that's leading, you know, council meetings or elders meetings or walking the halls, talking with the students now that they're back in school and I get to see them again. And then also leading the divine service. Everything we do in the church, school, childcare, it flows from the forgiveness of sins we have in Christ. And as Paul says rightly in 1 Corinthians, we preach Christ and Him crucified. It is the rock. It is the center. It is the anchor that holds everything we do together. So I see that as my role wherever I may be of service to the staff or to the students or to the members of the congregation. We are pointing to Christ and Him crucified.
Julie, what does that look like in your vocation as principal at Zion?
Well, it's the foundation of it. The things that we do every day, our little actions, our big actions, they all, our theme this year is rooted in Christ. We're all rooted there, and that's where we draw our strength, and we use that as our foundation all day long. whether it's we're talking with, you know, the kids that are arguing over the swing set, or it's the kids that are, you know, crying because they miss their mommy. It's where we start and it's where we finish. It's helping our kids to find their light to shine, and helping them to shine not only their light, but the light of Christ.
Rachel, what about you as the all hands on deck deaconess? What does that look like for you in your vocation at Zion?
Yeah, I'd say it most often comes up in women's Bible study or in youth group. I also do youth group. And so reminding people who are often suffering, questioning things that are happening in their life, that no matter what, Jesus died for you. It's always the for you, right? We have this picture of the one who suffers for us, the one who welcomes us, the one who redeems us, and that we belong to him, and that's who you are, no matter what you're going through in your life.
We're talking with friends at Zion Lutheran Church and School in Harbor Beach, Michigan, and learning about how the Lord has shaped them as a congregation. And I'm interested in learning more about how they work together as a team, too. I see some great team dynamics as well. So we're going to learn more about that in just a moment. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
At Concordia University, Nebraska, discover a distinctly Christian community that equips students to live by faith with courage, character, and conviction. Intentionally combining our Christian faith, Lutheran heritage, rigorous academics, and practical real-life experiences, we prepare students to fulfill a higher purpose in their vocations and life. Learn more about Concordia University, Nebraska at our website, cune.edu. That's cune.edu.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
It is our Set Apart to Serve conversation here on The Coffee Hour, and we are talking with friends at Zion Lutheran Church and School in Harbor Beach, Michigan, Pastor Durance, Deaconess Bullgreen, and Principal Metzger, about how they've been given to serve there, and particularly how they're always pointing the members of the congregation and the students to Jesus. We've heard that in various ways that they serve. I'm curious how you all serve together in doing that. What is that like to be able to serve? I know, Principal Metzger, you're fairly new to the team here as well. How important is it for you, Pastor, and for this whole team to work so closely together to point the students to Christ, to point the members to Christ? What are you doing as a team that helps you work so closely together? I can see that just in the way you guys are, are interacting today in the conversation.
Well, the first thing is knowing that we are all serving the common mission of Christ, and the various vocations that we've been given, whether it's principal of the school or, you know, the deaconess, she's filling in. She really does fill in all of the cracks. I mean, she's the Swiss Army knife of the congregation. And then my role as pastor, it's of the greatest importance that we all have that common foundation in Christ, and recognizing that the Lord has put each of us here in this place to serve the people who have been put under our care, whether those are students, whether and staff, members of the congregation, and it's been good to have Principal Metzger and Deaconess Bullgreen, and then the other staff to help with all the work that we have to do in the congregation. This is, for me, the first congregation where I've had other staff. I spent all of my parish ministry as I was the secretary. I was the one who kept attendance, printed the bulletins, and did everything just solo on my own. And so, you know, to know what a gift it is, that the talents and the abilities that they have to lead and to proclaim the gospel in their own vocations, it's wonderful.
Rachel, what does that look like from a deaconess's perspective? Because you're able to interact with so many different groups in the congregation in a variety of different ways. What does that team leadership aspect look like for you?
There's a lot of popping into everybody's office. So, hey, Pastor, I just had a conversation with so-and-so, and you might need a heads up about this. Hey, Mrs. Metzger, guess who I just talked to? So there's a lot of that, just keeping each other informed, giving you a heads up, so that we're caring for everybody kind of holistically, right? We're aware of their physical needs. We're aware of their spiritual care needs, all of that kind of lumped together. So we really have, our offices are in close proximity to one another. So it's very, very easy just to keep that conversation going.
And Julie, what about you as principal from the school side of things? What does that team ministry look like for you as you're leading the school?
For me, it really is such a blessing to have both of them and our childcare director too, who is on board. It's just fantastic to have them, not only to feel like we often talk about being in a bubble, how everyone looks in at you and sees everything. In this case, we're not alone. That bubble is full of love and joy, and having the heart that's soft enough to listen, learn, and lead as we're going through, and realizing that we're all coming from different points of view, and being able to work together in that point.
All three of you have talked about how important it is in each of your vocations to point people to Jesus, whether that's the children or the women or the congregation as a whole in your different areas where you work. How do you see that formation in the faith also forming to potential church work vocations that all three of you hold? Julie, let's start with you.
Oh, goodness. It's fun to see my little ones that come up in our dress up days that are you know, they come as teachers. I want to be the teacher, and you know, they're dressed like their teacher. And you know, how do you not point them and say, hey, what makes us special? You know, it's the first day of school and we're talking about what makes Zion special, especially for me, who's just, I'm new here. And so them being able, having the opportunity to say, hey, Zion is special because number one, we have Christ at our center. And then, you know, having that and them going into the public school and carrying that with them and then pointing them and saying, hey, you know, there are opportunities for you to take Christ into your vocation, into your work. And whether you're a teacher or you're a pastor, you can still, you know, work in the church and have that that blessing all the time.
Rachel, what about you?
Yeah, I spend a lot of time, like I said, with maybe like the fifth through eighth graders quite a bit working with the youth. And so having lunch with them and just getting to know their personalities. I fill in once in a while when pastor's gone to say circuit visitors conference, I'll teach his confirmation class and things like that. And so just getting to know those kids and hearing them confess their faith and talk about what they want to be when they grow up and having those heartfelt, well, hey, you expressed an interest in kids. Have you ever thought about being a teacher? Or what is that? What does that look like? We actually, and maybe I'm stepping on pastor's toes here, but every year at the end of confirmation with seventh and eighth grade, he invites all the called workers in to talk to those kids and say, hey, this is how principal became a principal. This is how our teachers decided to become a teacher and what they do. And what is the blessing of working for a Lutheran congregation and school, and as opposed to maybe somewhere in the public sector. And so it's really, it's really informal here, as in very relationship focused on and how we have those conversations with the kids.
Yeah, Pastor, tell us more from your perspective.
Yeah. So as Deaconess said, you know, I've been here at Zion, at the end of confirmation, I want to invite the principal and Rachel to come and some of our other called teachers and really talk about, you know, what their story was to come into church work. Because I look at church work as that, I think Deaconess mentioned that relational aspect. The reason I decided eventually to become a pastor is because I had a question, maybe not even really seriously considering it, but talking to my pastor and saying, you know, I'm thinking about maybe kind of sort of I might do this. And what does that look like? And so when I hear that especially in the confirmation youth, but also in the younger kids, you know, they're looking at, well, what does a teacher do? What does a pastor do? What does deaconess do? Putting that name and face together with them and saying, hey, I'm happy to talk to you about this thing because I enjoy it. That's why I do what I do. It's why we're pastors and principals and deaconesses, because we enjoy doing this, and then having that conversation with them. But also I think it the last point I'll make is sometimes you have to lead them by the ear a little bit, you know. I many of the pastors I've talked to and teachers and even deaconess mentioned it in kind of her how I became a deaconess, you know, story. There is a bit of reluctance that it's like, I'm not really, that wasn't the vision that I had for my life initially. But once it was made clear to me, once the Lord revealed that to me, then it's like, oh, I can't imagine myself doing anything else. I've become much more bold in talking to the young men, especially, you know, asking them the question, not, hey, have you considered being a pastor? But I'll ask them the question, so when are you going to go to seminary? you know, because that sometimes you just need that boldness and that assertion to say, you know, you really need to consider doing this. And yeah, it seems like a choice now, but the Lord's going to put you in that position one way or another. Just really encourage that and be happy warriors, you know, whether it's in the school or deaconess or pastor, you know, enjoy what we're doing and realize the worth and the value that we have in these young people in particular in their lives.
From the youngest, you know, talking about vocations in very simple ways. I hear that from Principal Metzger and, you know, to the middle school youth and talking about our vocations, whether we're serving as church workers or in other ways, serving in our churches, to those high school students as well, through those one-on-one conversations with you, Pastor. How do you see anything else in addition to this that you see Zion doing that really builds up this culture of raising up future church workers? Are there other aspects to the life of this congregation that you see as maybe intentional or even just a byproduct of who you are as a congregation that contributes to this culture of raising up future church workers? Pastor?
I would say the first thing is we are blessed in this congregation to have many different kinds of church workers, you know, principals, deaconesses, pastor. We've got several organists and musicians in our congregation. So the people in particular, the young people in particular, see all the various ways that you can serve in the congregation. And one of the things, especially within confirmation and in the youth group, we have been encouraging our young men and women to serve more in the congregation, whether that's on the altar guild, whether that's serving as an acolyte, whether that's being an usher. The young men who have been confirmed, they're recruited right off of confirmation Sunday to serve on the usher, you know, group. And they love it. I mean, they really do. Because they see, oh, I can serve. I can do something in the congregation. My skill set is valuable here. But definitely encouraging all the different ways that they can serve in the congregation and seeing that, you know, if I've ever thought about anything in these various, aspects that I can do something, there's something there for me.
Principal Metzger, anything to add to that about that culture, of Zion that encourages, young people or people of any age really to consider church work?
I really think it has a lot to say about the community. The worship community that's here and the community of Harbor Beach itself. The fact that, our kids go over to Harbor Beach to the public school and have PE and their specials over there. And it's open and welcoming to our kids to come over. And they're excited and to have us come over. So I think it speaks a lot to the community around in Harbor Beach. And the people that are in the church itself, and even in the grocery store, when kids see me in the grocery store and they now, you know, identify me and come running up to me, and then a lady who's walking on the other side goes, "Oh, I know where Zion is. You know, I used to. My grandma used to." And I get this whole, you know, background story on this, you know, stranger that's walking down the grocery aisle with me. But it's one way that we show our light into the community, and the community just really opens it and welcomes it. And I think that is part of why our kids are looking at those things, because they see the support not only here in the church, but in the community too.
Deaconess, Any thoughts from you on that culture of raising up future church workers at Zion?
Sure. I think, we encourage a lot of giving as well and service, serving one another. So we have chapel buddies, where the older fifth through eighth graders have buddies who are in kindergarten through first grade. And so every Wednesday when we go to chapel, they don't sit with their grade level. They sit with their chapel buddies. And so we have this sort of family atmosphere of the older kids helping the younger kids, teaching them where to find things in the hymnal. And then every quarter, our chapel offerings go to a different project. We do something local. We do something international. We try to find other church families to help. Sometimes we'll donate to a pastor's family that is going through a hard time or some such thing. So we're trying to create kind of this awareness of serving others through everything that we're doing and caring, what it's like to care for one another as the body of Christ. And then as, like I said before, as the kids get older, they're asked to step into these roles. So first you serve as an usher and an acolyte in chapel. And then when you're a little older, you serve as an usher or an acolyte in church. And we invite the young ladies to come be on, or men, anywhere, to come be on the altar guild and learn how to care for the vessels that deliver to us Christ's body and blood. We have a great young guy who just left us this week for college, who's one of our organists. And he also serves in helping to do the slide projector. And so there's just all these opportunities. And we constantly have the invitation open for kids to step into those roles. And they see the older ones moving in and out of those spaces. And then the younger ones get to say, oh, I get to be like so-and-so, who is my really good friend, and I can do that same job.
From each of your perspectives and your different vocations, what is your encouragement to young people, but also to their parents, to consider church work vocations and that formation toward a future vocation in church work, Pastor?
Well, we hear in Scripture that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Being a pastor, I'll speak as a pastor. Being a pastor is one of the best vocations out there. Second only to being a husband and a father. The work that I get to do every week with the kids here at the school and in the congregation, it really is the greatest work that you can do. Sharing Christ and Him crucified with people in all their walks of life and in all the various stages they find themselves in. And so if you are considering, a young man and considering the pastoral office, don't ignore that kind of inkling. And, you can fight it a little bit. You're allowed to do that. But when you come around to it, really, really embrace it. It is a blessed vocation, and it really is the greatest.
Deaconess, what about you?
Well, I happen to be a parent of a Concordia student currently, so it's been a really great opportunity. As he was going around and doing college visits, now I can talk to the other kids. Oh yeah, my son is going to one of the Concordias. Maybe when you're visiting, you should look at one of the Concordias. Like, we have this great university system where you can continue in your Lutheran faith and be supported and encouraged in that through the Concordia University system.
Principal Metzger, what about you?
Well, for me, I don't know that I can top any one of those two answers. But for me, it would be it's okay to be slow about learning that it's okay to be in the ministry. Take your time, make your decision, but listen to what God is telling you, and try not to ignore that. Make that part of your decision.
Our guest today, friends from Zion Lutheran Church and School in Harbor Beach, Michigan, Principal Julie Metzger, thanks so much for being our guest today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Deaconess Rachel Bullgreen, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
And the Reverend Dr. Matthew Durant serves as pastor at Zion. Pastor, thanks so much for being our guest.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
You can learn more about Set Apart to Serve by visiting lcms.org/SAS.
The Coffee Hour is a production of KFUO. This program and our station are dependent on listeners just like you. To support KFUO Radio, our podcast, and all the other programming, please make your gift or pledge today at kfuo.org/give and help us continue sharing the good news of Christ for you anytime, anywhere. kfuo.org/give.